Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to this segment of Ask Chris Five Questions.
Five questions, but you know, my favorite number is three.
Oh, really? Then I will ask you three questions and then add two more on. How about that?
Well, I have to check that because when I was younger, my favorite hockey player wore number five, Bob Plager. Now that's taken me back into the late 60s, early 70s.
I'm from South Florida, so I don't know from hockey. So sort of hockey talk, this is not hockey talk.
This is not hockey talk. Oh, this is Aging Gayfully. It's not, I thought this was hockey talk. Oh, goodness. South Florida, that's right. Well, they have hockey in South Florida.
They do. They have hockey in South Florida. They have the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
The Florida Panthers, who are probably most famous for having rats, plastic rats thrown on the ice when they would win. A while ago.
And I know the story behind that.
It's
because the player, and his name was Scott Mellenby, because he played for the St. Louis Blues, which is my favorite team. There was a rat that ended up in the dressing room at the Miami Arena, and he took his hockey stick and did a slap shot with the rat, and that's legends be told.
The rest be history.
Rats in Miami, though, that's it. Now there's a show.
Yeah, well, there is a show, but we want to keep our Miami audience, so.
We want to keep our Miami audience for sure.
I will tell you, though, that was a pretty special year in Florida Panthers history, because I believe that they went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like their third or fourth year in existence. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals. It was exciting. And they played, you're asking me questions that I know a lot about. They played the Colorado Avalanche.
Another expansion team then.
I can talk hockey, even though I'm aging gayfully. I can talk hockey.
That is the only bit of hockey merch that I own is a John Van Beesbroek sweater from that.
Oh, the Beezer.
Yeah, love the Beezer.
Yeah, the Beezer. One of the best American goalies in the National Hockey League.
And that's what it takes for stuff to really catch on in South Florida, though, is you got to have a hook or a gimmick, because they're all about the party down there. So you have a guy with a cute nickname, the Beezer, and you have, people tossing plastic rats. That's a party in Miami. Plastic rats and the Beezer.
They still throw the plastic rats. That's 20-some-odd years ago. So
yeah. That's all you need from Miami. You need a hook, and then you're in like Flynn.
Need a hook. That's right, especially when you're out fishing.
So we are here today. We're hoping to hook some answers from you, Chris. A little bit about yourself as we're kicking off this Aging Gayfully journey. So I've got five questions for you, and okay. I can't wait to hear your answers. So first of all, through the years, as you've traveled, has your perspective on traveling changed?
Well, I think in a way, yes. And the way I travel has changed. I still am excited about going to new destinations. And I hearken back, and we got a lot of sports analogies here today, Josh, but I hearken back to my time when I bowled professionally on the Pro Bowlers Tour, and how we would go from city to city in a van, and we'd go into hotels, and how exciting that was. Very rarely did we fly from tournament to tournament. It's kind of hard to put 10 or 12 16-pound bowling balls on an airplane, but that's for another story. But as I've gotten older and have traveled throughout Europe and did some domestic trips, right? There's something about traveling on a train that resonates. Maybe it's having the opportunity to look outside the window and see the beautiful landscape. Maybe it's because it's a lot easier to get on a train than dealing with airports.
Yes.
And then after you've taken a train in Europe, then you realize what train travel is all about, how wonderful it is. So, yeah, you know, it's evolved for sure. And that's, I think it's, at least for me, aging gayfully kind of resonates with trains, because you can just kind of settle in, let the conductor come by and punch your ticket, and just kind of enjoy the scenery.
Well, that sounds lovely, though my mind is still stuck on you traveling from place to place in a van. In my mind, John Candy is there. bowling balls are like going back and forth in the van, just knocking around.
One of his wonderful movies with Steve Martin, Plane, Trains, and Automobiles. I mean, John Candy was certainly a legend. And but you know, that I kind of hearken back to that time when traveling the country in an orange van with my friend Randy and going from tournament to tournament, and how fortunate I was to have that experience. And I think that's kind of why I've always enjoyed traveling and new experiences. And goodness, I may be even anticipating a question, but maybe I have a question for myself. Would I be a nomad in a motorhome?
Would you? Or in an orange van.
Or in an orange van. That orange van really had it going on. It was cool. But, you know, I've thought about that. I have a friend. He's just turned 60. He's a nomad going across the country, living in his motorhome, working remotely. But I kind of think my driving days are, long trips are, those days are over. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be a big fan of living in a place that could roll away if I forget to set the brake.
Well, you know, well, especially here in Florida, when it could just kind of fly away.
That's right. Or in Tornado Alley, either
well,
or.
And, you know, I grew up in Tornado Alley in St. Louis, so I get it, yeah.
Did you? But
there's just something about train travel, and especially, you know, from Barcelona, where you can get on a train in Barcelona and be just about anywhere in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Within a few hours or even a half a day. Like Barcelona to Geneva, there's a couple of stops you got to make, but you could be in Switzerland in 12 hours.
It's amazing to me as an American.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about your travel situation with the orange van and how you had to deal with heavy balls. But have you encountered any other unique challenges as a person of your age, but then also as an LGBTQ individual as you travel? Like, what unique challenges does that combination offer?
Well, I think the recent history with having a monitoring device implanted in my chest for my atrial fibrillation, there's some advantages and some disadvantages to that. But the advantages is you get kind of put into the front of the line through the security check, because you point, you know, I've got one of these things, or, you know, because you don't want to you do, there's a couple of those machines you don't want to walk into, because you'll be the magnet will just kind of grab you right in. But
oh my gosh,
you know, but what that does is it makes you a little bit more mindful of the unique needs that some seniors have as they travel. And it's okay to be able to talk about that and recognize that and demonstrate that to those who are checking you in.
Right.
the security agents, the TSAs here in America, but you know they're all over Europe as well. But they're all sensitive to your unique needs. But you just have to feel comfortable in telling them. You know, one of my latest fashions in senior care is hearing aids.
Yeah.
And boy, hearing aids and headsets. It's kind of like hearing things in quadraphonic, but when you have your hearing aids on, I don't want to be generalized here. If I'm not hearing somebody clearly, I just kind of point to my ears. I said, you know, can you talk a little bit slower, a little bit louder, because. Well, oftentimes people don't, you know, they're so busy, service-orientated people, they're so busy, you know, trying to take care of the person that's in front of them with a mindset of, I got five or six people behind that person. But if you're comfortable enough to recognize that this person's busy, but, you know, you've got your own needs as well, just kind of politely point them out. You know, I'm having a little trouble hearing today, and I've never had a problem when I've been willing to demonstrate or talk about what limitations that I may or may not have as it relates to going through security or talking to a service agent. It's something that I think you have to get comfortable with as you age.
It's a vulnerable place to put yourself in.
It is, because, you know, aging is a process. And some of us age quicker than others. Some of our skills and abilities, you know, they change, and it's hard to accept. I mean, it was hard for me to accept that I needed hearing aids. But what was my balance? Did I want to miss out on something and keep saying, asking people, "What, Josh? What did you say? What was that?" Or did I want to just kind of enjoy life? I decided that I want to enjoy life, but I did make sure I got the right color of hearing aids so they matched with my beard, and you know, it's like I didn't want that. That bone color. So I got a pair of silver earrings. Listen to me. I got a pair of silver hearing aids. I got them right here. They match my glasses and my wardrobe and my beard. So you gotta
have the accessories.
You gotta have the accessories. And that's when you can really demonstrate your aging gayfully, when your hearing aids match your accessories.
But it's so funny. But that's a perfect example of embracing the inevitable and doing it joyfully or gayfully. Is that okay? Well, this has got to happen. This has got to happen, and so I might as well just fly my flag while I'm doing it.
Resisting the process exasperates the process. I'm relish aging gayfully. Now, I should be thankful to my five siblings who are all older. So I've had good examples of what that looks like. And I know in my own mindset that no matter how old I get, I'm always going to be the youngest in my family.
Excellent.
but with that, we all have to come to that comfort zone as we age in all facets of life. I think the more you embrace the aging process, the easier it becomes, even when those difficult days appear when you're not feeling well or your hearing aids aren't working or there's another calamity that happens. It's that level of acceptance, and we all find it in different ways.
So, yeah, one of the things that you have to do then is just accept your limitations as you're traveling with health considerations and energy considerations. And so I assume that that's something that you plan for now.
energy is a, you know, that is the telltale sign. You know, my mind is used to telling myself the things that I could do because that's from previous experiences. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, that drive from Fort Lauderdale to St. Louis, oh, I could do that 15, 16 hours straight. Not anymore. Your mind tells you that you can do it because you've done it. Your body tells you something different. And it's that delicate balancing act about what you know you could do versus what the current reality is and accepting that and saying it's okay. It's not, doesn't take away from any of your skills or abilities. It's just recognizing where you're at and enjoying it and living it in the moment. And I think often lose track of living just in the moment and enjoying what we have. I'll use a caregiving analogy here is that some point in time, we're all going to need a caregiver. Why not enjoy the days as you have them and live in the moment? And that's what that's one of the components that aging gayfully is all about.
Seems to me that another important aspect of this is always be open to learning new ways of doing things. The analogy that I think of is when we're a kid and we're growing up, and we don't know how to do something, you know, we're told, well, you can learn how to do it. And usually,
yes,
you know, I can learn how to play a sport, or I can learn how to do this, or I can learn how to do that. And it is a series of you telling your body how to do something and then learning how to do it through repetition and muscle memory. And that ability, as you age, you can't have your brain tell your body you need to learn how to do something new. It's more about your brain being elastic enough to figure out new processes and new ways to do it that aren't necessarily reliant on just brute force or brute strength or dexterity or anything. And that takes a tremendous capacity for the person to learn and to want to learn.
Right. And it's, you know, it's recognizing your own skills and abilities and how it relates to what you are in that stage in your life. And I'm kind of amazed at this myself. I'm kind of into, I want to have a garden. Now I live on a 6-floor condo with a beautiful patio that I can have plants and, but I've never really tended to a garden before.
You would make a lovely garden gnome. All you need is the pointed hat.
All they need is, you know, maybe that's a product for aging gayfully. We'll have to work
the pointed hat.
But I didn't have the time to do gardening before. Now I have, not that I have more time. It's just my time is allotted in different areas because, for instance, I can't. I might be able to go and bowl a game, but I couldn't go out and bowl for 2 or 3 hours like I used to. My body would respond unkindly to activities like that. So you find different activities that match your level of skill is not the right word because I have no skill when it comes to gardening. This is like learning a new trick. But it's appealing because it's something that I know that I can learn to do that will be satisfying. Just as bowling was very satisfying. It was extremely satisfying to me. Well, you know, 24, 300 games and 3 professional titles. You know, I look back on that experience and say, that was freaking awesome. But I'd be kidding myself if I thought I could go out and bowl competitively today. But can I be a competitive gardener? Who knows? You know, it just depends. Maybe.
Depends on how far you can roll the azaleas down.
That's right. Or, you know, again, another area is cooking. I love watching these cooking shows and say on YouTube and say, I can make that. Now, you know, years ago, I thought, just take me to the fast food. It's okay. But, you know, it's recognizing in the aging process. The aging process can be also from 30 to 40.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be from 50 to 60 or 60 to 80. We're always aging in one facet or another, and we're always evolving. Why not accept it? That's why this concept of aging gayfully, it's such a play on words, but it's so true. Why wouldn't you want to age happily, gayfully? Why wouldn't you want to embrace life, all facets of life?
Yeah, and another factor that travel oftentimes is expensive, and seniors are often on a fixed budget.
Right.
So what are some expense hacks that you've been able to take advantage of or that you would recommend for folks who really want to travel, but of course they've got to mind the bank account?
Well, a couple of things. Always try to plan in advance. And usually the best deals are when you can project. Let's just talk about cruising for a second. And you usually need to plan these out months in advance anyway. But when you have the desire to go on that one cruise that you've been looking to go at your entire life, well, you know what? Go ahead and book it. But book it so far in advance that where you can make either monthly payments or quarterly payments that fit into your budget. You know, the cruise lines are great at payment options these days because the cruise lines were devastated, as was the whole travel industry with COVID. But work with a trusted travel advisor. It's great to go on the internet and look at all the different options that are available. When you're working with a travel advisor, somebody that's been in the industry, they can usually find the best deals for you. And look for somebody that is has a senior clientele that understands the senior traveler. And it's kind of like anything else. You know, everybody has their own specialty. Travel advisors are really are there for their clients, and they can help you through the maze of information that sometimes makes travel difficult.
Well, I'm sure that there's hundreds of travel folks out there who, well, I don't know about hundreds, but it's probably pretty important to find someone who has experience both with seniors and with special considerations that gay folks might have.
Exactly.
Traveling abroad, especially, you know, certain sensitive situations or go there but don't go there type of thing.
Right. And there are a plethora of travel advisors that are senior focused, that are LGBT focused. You know, what we're trying to do here is shift the conversation a little bit, because in my experience, the travel industry focuses a lot on the younger crowd, and the gay community is focused on a lot on the younger crowd. There is some ageism that comes in, but I also know that people that have the non-discretionary income that can, you know, afford to travel, they want to know that they can travel safely. Whether you're a gay senior or a straight senior, people want to know that you can travel safely to any destination. And the savvy travel advisor will know those destinations, and they'll know how to get you to the places that you want to be. And there's some people that just kind of want to explore. You know, I'm kind of one of those people as well. But I also know, as I've gotten older, that my explorations have changed just a little bit, that I'm a little bit more conscious of where I'm at. How close is public transportation? How close are taxis? In Barcelona and Spain in general, there's taxis right around the corner, no matter where you're at. And the high-speed trains and the public transportation are readily available. Not so much in the United States, though.
Well, I got my last question here for you. How do you keep your memories alive from past travels? Are you big into looking back and reliving things? Is that your bag?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some people would say you live in the past. And I say, well, the past is what makes the future. And I relive those trips. I relive my first transatlantic cruise with Richard. I see our pictures with the bow ties on, with our both having bow ties. But I also remember the people along the journey that you meet. Here's a good story for you, Josh. There was a on our transatlantic cruise. You know, you're always kind of wondering, you know, who's going to be at that dinner table with you? Are you going to feel comfortable? Are they going to feel comfortable with you? I mean, that's that human condition. So we first night there was our traveling companions that we were with, Jill and Dominic, and then it was Richard and I, and then there was two other couples. There was a couple from Ohio. And then there was a couple from England. And unfortunately, I don't remember their names, but I remember them. The banter at the table, you kind of get the sense who's comfortable and who's not comfortable. Then these were both older couples. Of course, this is going back 2006. Let's talk about living in the past. So, but, you know, the one couple from Ohio, they were not as... not that they weren't as welcoming. They were just a little bit, they were trying to feel everybody out. But the couple from England, you know, instantly they were comfortable with everybody at the table. That 2 weeks, the relationships just continued to grow at the table, and where we were freely talking about all of our lives and you know, our likes and dislikes and commitment and love and family and all these things. And people just have the opportunity to talk to one another one-on-one or, you know, in a small group like this. We find out that we're really not that much different. We all have the same desires. And it's my common theme that I've talked about for years on podcasts and presentations, and everybody understands what love, care, and commitment is all about. Everybody wants to experience it. Everybody wants to give it. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. Those three components are a necessity in life. And it was played out, especially when the gentleman, the English gentleman, he leaned over to me and he says, "I think you really like this person." And he was pointing at Richard. And he said, "I just remember saying, oh, does it show?"
That's very sweet.
You know, we lost, very rarely would you see somebody else, see them again. But he corresponded with me for a couple of years. I think that's an example of a society that we all want to live in. And I think that's what travel does. It brings people together from diverse backgrounds, different cultures, different times in their life to remind us what's important in life, love, care, and commitment. And that's what aging gayfully really is all about, finding that love, care, and commitment so that we can age happily. It's just, you know, might be easier if you're gay to age gayfully, but not really, though.
All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much for this chat. So how can the folks get in touch with us
what we're doing? Well, they can visit us at aginggayfully.com. And you've got a question, you want to be a guest on the show, email us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. That's yesiam@aginggayfully.com.
All right. Until next week, folks, y'all age gayfully.